Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Backfeed, the show after the show where these idiots can sit around a virtual table and ask me any kinds of questions that they may or that I may or may not have a response to. I'm your Dungeon Master, Andy, and today I am joined by whoever wants to talk first, feel free.
Melkor, also known as Giovanni.
And Sam, also known as Demizio.
All right, so last time we had a very interesting session where it could have gone one of many different ways. You guys finished up the dungeon and discovered not only the Dimir hideout, but the head of the Dimir hideout is known as Synovia, or your group's friend Phantasmo, his mother.
His hot mother.
His very hot mommy. Who I totally was trying to give off mommy vibes for. And I hope I succeeded with that.
Sorry. Mommy?
Right. So that was an interesting batch of encounters. Because basically I knew Demizio was not gonna stop to get at his dad, but his dad was there and still being held for a specific reason, which you guys found out. basically Synovia is kind of trapped in a situation that she doesn't want to be in, and the only way to keep Finn and essentially the party out of harm's way is by keeping Silvio locked in a cage.
She is just as trapped as Silvio.
Yeah, essentially. not so much for the sense of her fear of her own free will, no, but fear of harm coming to her baby boy, which definitely some animosity towards between Synovia and Simon a little bit. I definitely hinted at that. And nope. Let me tell you, that would have been a very interesting and completely different encounter if Simon was still there.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that.
So we will have to thank Senor Rob for playing Aldous the way he did and forcing Simon out.
Wow.
Because he essentially saved your butts without realizing it.
Well, I mean, having Simon on our team would have been a huge powerhouse boost, right, for us?
Possibly. But you also probably never would have found out all the information that you did.
Right.
Yeah, so we would have just ended up fighting Synovia, like, inevitably, you think?
Well, I wonder what Finn would have done.
If Simon was there, it would have instantly, like, the second Synovia would have seen Simon, she would have ripped his throat out.
And killed him?
She would have done anything in her power to kill him.
So
so Rob saved Simon's life.
Oh my yep. God, that's funny.
She would have done anything to kill him.
What would have Finn done?
I don't know. That's a question for Anthony. I was kind of hoping he'd come today, but it appears as though sickness has gotten him as well. Excuse me. I don't know. I really don't know what Phantasma would have done, because here's the problem, and this is kind of like a little bit of a callback to my original character in the first campaign, Belmont, how he was kind of like acting so crazily when we brought up his mafioso father, pseudo father.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
Do you remember that, Sam?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like Stockholm syndrome, in a sense. So like, thing is that Finn doesn't realize it's Stockholm syndrome.
Okay.
So that's kind of a conversation for Phantasmo to kind of lean into a little bit more when he has time. But his mother was very blatantly obvious about it, how Simon took Phantasmo away from Synovia and his father, what's his father's name? Not A, but I think that's.
Does Anthony know it's Stockholm syndrome? Like,
I don't know. I kind of hinted it, and I was wondering if it clicked, but I don't know if it did. It's hard to tell with Anthony if something clicks, because he'll like, he'll make the same facial expression if, like, it's just kind of like a blank stare. And I'm like, hello? You there, Anthony? Like, I'm giving you trauma.
He'll be like, oh, no, I got it.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. It's definitely an interesting backstory that I've decided to go with Phantasmo, and I'm happy we're kind of exploring it a little bit more. But at the same time, Anthony's not exploring it. Like, I gave him a fish line, and it's like, yeah, Simon stole you from your parents. Come on, take the bait. Take the bait. You can do it. And he doesn't do it. I'm like, the fuck, man?
Yeah. Because if that wouldn't be enough to make him turn on Simon, I don't know what would.
I know. Well, again, it goes back to the Stockholm Syndrome thing of, like, this is the man that raised me. Like, he doesn't view it as that. Yeah, I mean, that's the
Finn made it clear that, like, he was upset with his mom for leaving him for 15 years in his eyes.
Exactly.
Even at, I think, and that was even after the fact of him, because didn't we learn about Simon forcing her away before last episode? Like, wasn't it a couple episodes ago that we learned that? Like, when Simon came clean?
I don't think so. I feel like I remember. I think it was.
Or was it in the conversation?
No, it was a conversation back before the break where Phantasmo had a conversation with his father, and he kind of alluded to that as well. How it, like, don't blame your mother. It wasn't her fault. If you have questions, you need to talk to Simon and get real answers. And Phantasmo hasn't done that yet.
When did he talk to his dad?
During the 6 month break. Or 6 month time jump, when you all went your separate ways for a little bit to do some stuff on the road for Phantasma, when he was actively gaining favor with a certain
patron,
he was stopped by his solar father, and that's kind of what happened.
What is solar father? What do you mean solar?
That's his race, an angel. He's an angel.
Celestial.
Yeah. So he's the, I think, I could be wrong. I'm fucking working on 4 hours of solid sleep in the past 48 hours. Let me look up the bestiary. So there's a type of angel.
It's a sub-race, pretty much.
No. What the hell is it called? Where essentially it's like a very, very strong form of an angel. Let me just look it up. Yeah, it's a solar. It looks more human, but it's a very fucking powerful creature. CR of 21, just for you to be aware. Yeah, so he is no joking creature. But yeah, he talked to him, and that's when Phantasmo found out. But it was kind of more of like a hinted kind of thing. I don't know if I actually went into conversation with it about, like, the specifics. Definitely not as much as Synovia. She gave Phantasmo a little bit more information as far as what happened.
Okay. I have a list of questions about vampires that I wrote down. But are you ready for that?
Okay.
My first question was, did we get experience points for the creatures that Simon killed? Didn't Simon, like, go on, like, a little rampage before he disappeared?
Yeah, I think I gave you guys a little bit of XP for it. Nothing, okay. Like, I mean, it... They were small monsters. I mean, it's not like they're CR of like 2.
Oh, it was just like little guys.
They're all mimics. I mean, they're designed for players at a smaller level, which is why there were so many of them, because that dungeon was super deadly for a group of adventurers at like level 5. But considering you guys have essentially stopped Talasha and leveled up, and you're now level 9. It was kind of a walk in the park for you.
Did you make that? Sorry to interrupt you. Did you make that before we, like, a while ago before we became like level 9?
No. Dungeon? Oh, the okay. The idea of the dungeon was the first layer was the so basically the Dimir came in and the dungeon itself was already kind of there because it's kind of like a mix of like the labyrinth, like that's just how the whole thing was set up. It was all just a labyrinth, which is why it took you guys so long to get to that first level of the official dungeon, which was marked by the door with the Dimir symbol. And they chose that one because it was heavily infested with natural creatures that helped keep people at bay so they wouldn't be interfered with. But they brought in that giant fucking horror that you guys fought as a last line of defense and to help keep some of that, some of those natural creatures away from the Dimir hideout itself. Which is why there was that big giant fucking bug in those labyrinth or horror, I guess I should say.
So what I was going to ask about the vampire stuff is if one of us is turned into a vampire, would you they get like the typical traits of a vampire, like some sort of weakness to sunlight? Maybe you could transform into a bat.
If we are talking about a true vampire, like you are bit, you are transformed not by the effects of a magical item, then yes, you would have those side effects of being a vampire, the weakness to light, the all this other stuff. But it also goes into a bloodline. So depending on how pure your bloodline is, so this is kind of an interesting situation. If you are born a vampire and your bloodline is more pure, you have less of those like negative effects and more positive ones. That's what makes you more powerful. But if you're one that's turned, or if you're one that's super diluted, like let's say like a dampier, I think they're called, like, so kind of like a vampire but not a vampire kind of thing, like an offshoot, you're not as powerful as like a true blooded vampire. It's the difference of like, I don't know, Dracula and Nosferatu versus
Edward Cullen.
Sure. Yeah, actually, yeah. So that's kind of the idea.
So you're saying that someone that gets bit and turns is weaker than someone that
has it
in their blood already.
Yeah, those are vampire spawn, or I think, right, Andy? That you'd be
I think so. I'm not entirely sure myself. But Ellie, no, yeah, so
that, sorry, I made that one one shot a couple years ago, Andy, with the werewolves and vampires.
Oh yeah, that's right. That.
Yeah, I'm reading it right now. In the D&D world, apparently, like, you're right. It says if you kill someone with a bite and then you bury them, the following night, they rise as a vampire spawn under the vampire's control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's the stereotypical, like, oh, it's not the I was bit, I turned into a vampire. It's a I'm bit and now I'm under their control. And they gain the powers of like a vampire to an extent of as far as like the fangs, the lust for blood and all that stuff.
Yeah, the stuff I'm reading is pretty interesting. Like, they have a charm ability.
Mm-hmm. They're super charismatic.
Unarmed strike.
Probably the fangs and claws, if I had to guess.
Yeah, they have a spider client, like they can walk on ceilings and shit.
Yeah, which I would.
But they also have weaknesses, though. Like,
yeah,
water, but, and radiant damage and sunlight,
yep.
And
yep.
Yeah. So, if I was to go on board with the whole vampire thing, you haven't heard from Melkor. Would he have any of these abilities or weaknesses, or?
You'd have to. So this is probably going to piss.
Or would
you
just
off
be like custom?
This would probably piss you off because you're a because I know you like to plan things. I'm not gonna spoil it. So
you gotta take the leap. You don't know.
That's the thing. So, like, you're kind of getting it from, like, three different angles. And it's not like... The problem is that each angle is can combine together to kind of create, like, this weird interaction, but you're not a true vampire at that sense. For example, just to go back over it, your patron, who has the name of Markov, has been established as a vampire. They have, I believe Sinovia told you that they were vampires, a vampire bloodline. So you're getting it from that angle. You have the angle of whoever your patron is, whoever spoke to you when you first made the deal, called you their kin. So that right there, it's in your bloodline. Somewhere down the road, someone fucked a fang boy,
or girl.
and out popped your bloodline. And then this third thing is that magic item that we talked about, which I don't want to go too much detail until you want to reveal it to everybody else.
I just had an idea, Gio. If you want to learn more about vampires, the party has actually came across one already.
You have?
They're in the town of Salura, which is where our base of operations is.
Your previous campaign? Okay.
No, this party. So, and Finn actually had the direct contact with it.
Yeah, because someone pissed it off. Named Finn.
So
they're in our home. They're in our base of operations, Salura.
They exist in the town of Salura. So it's a shop.
You're speculating. It was never confirmed.
That she was a vampire. Yeah, it was a really freaking creepy woman that can walk up trees and hang upside down and has fangs. I think I don't remember exactly what it was, but
it was like a creepy fucking vampire, kind of like.
So, they own the shop called. Help me out, Andy. I can look it up if you want. It's Roy and Wah.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about, but that's kind of what I meant by you're speculating because it was never confirmed that they are the ones who did it.
Did what?
That was never confirmed that they're the ones who are the vampires. Or vampires.
Roy and Wah?
Yeah, it was never confirmed that it was them.
Wait, but that vampire that came out and found us in the woods was not Wah? It was never confirmed that it was Wah?
No, you guys just assumed that and rolled with it.
Oh, interesting.
It has been like a random person?
Well... So the problem is, Sam, I will help you out one second. It is...
Who's Victor's Secrets? I looked back at my notes. Secrets.
So what happened? This is what happened during the episode. That episode specifically, Phantasmo made a deal with Victor's Secrets for a loan, essentially. Like, Phantasmo opened up a bar in Salura and needed some fancy gadgets and gizmos, and Victor... is a magical shopkeeper, so he has bits and bobs for sale. Phantasmo,
Scoball, Scope
yeah.
Machine.
Phantasmo made a deal with him. Victor, I think it was no Roy. I'm sorry, made a deal with Roy, and Roy told him, "You have to sign with your blood with using this pen," and Phantasmo faked it by using magic, and succeeded on his role. But the problem is that the spell he used only lasted an hour. so it faded. Shortly after, I think later that night, actually, they all went to bed and Phantasma was on watch. And then all of a sudden, this creepy ass motherfucking vampire, it looks like, kind of, I think the way I described it was this like Slender Man mixed with that creepy ass fucking girl from The Grunge with the long hair that kind of like walks on all fours with creepy. Super long fingers that turn into the claws and fangs and beady red eyes, the whole nine. And it talked to Finn and said, "You need to sign this correctly, otherwise we're going to have a fucking problem." And it was the same paperwork from Victor's Secrets that Phantasmo failed to sign the first time.
And he tried talking his way out of it and being sneaky with everything else. And we were like, "Finn, will you cut it out?
Just sign it." But yeah, so it was never It was never confirmed that that vampire is in the city, firstly. Secondly, it was never confirmed that it was either shopkeeper. You guys speculated that. And thirdly, well, you do know that it has some kind of connection to the shop. You just don't know how.
Didn't, like when he was talking to Roy about signing it, didn't Roy say something about he had a, it's not how his wife does it, or, you know, his wife, he said something like about his wife is the boss or his wife's in charge, or.
Yeah, but that's not an affirmation of guilt. That's not him saying, yeah, my wife's a vampire.
That sounds like it's Andy trying to throw us off the trail, if you ask me.
I mean, that's completely possible, but at the same time, I'm spitting facts here, Sam.
Yeah.
you guys are speculating.
We are not in a court of law. We don't have to have proof beyond a reasonable doubt.
Court of law is the next session. Or the session.
Yeah. But yeah, so anyways, though, we have experienced a vampire, and you could always, you know, we could point you to Victor's Secrets if you bring it up and like, hey, has anyone in the party ever dealt with vampires? And somebody will jump up. Well, actually, the only ones left now are going to be me and Finn.
That remember it, yeah.
But yeah, you can bring it up and I'll make sure I'll say something. So,
I was just imagining how the party's going to react if Melkor becomes a vampire.
You're already halfway there. You got the necromancy down.
I think I'd prefer a vampire over necromancy. Or Finn's whole sacrifice. Yeah. Finn's whole sacrificing people to another alternate plane. That's
everyone's just kind of like granted it's a secret, yeah. Like Phantasmo's not open about it, but like nobody questions him.
Well, the problem is that if we do, then we run into a issue of party members fighting again.
Well, so, okay. This is the last time Sam is
overlooking it for the sake of the party.
So you can go about talking to people. That's fine. It's just know when to stop. The problem is that there's a lack of communication too. The reason why there was a fight between Aldous and Phantasmo and Simon two sessions ago was because Rob wanted to kill Simon and thought that Simon, if he was dead, made Finn more powerful, and he thought that Phantasmo would join in the fight. Because Simon's obviously evil. Well, the problem is that Finn does not view Simon as evil. Finn views him as a father figure. And even if he was evil, he's still a father figure. So he just
is borderline evil. So
he just assumed that Phantasmo would go along with it after everything they've been through together. And it's like, Rob, what are you doing? Have a conversation with Phantasmo.
Yeah.
Sorry, Rob. Sorry, excuse me. I had to vent a little bit. Anyway, someone's breathing into their mic. Who's breathing into their mic?
It's not me.
Oh, it's probably me.
All right, Melkor.
I adjusted my headset.
That's okay. Melkor is just getting very anxious and impatient. So what other questions do you have about vampires?
Well, I'm definitely going to go along with it.
Of course, right.
I think regardless of what you want to do with it, I think I'm going to go along with it just because I think it'll make the game more interesting for me. Because it'll give me more stuff to think about, more stuff to juggle, like, how am I going to be sneaky with this? How am I going to get away with it? How am I going to not be evil when I'm a vampire?
Yeah. I think the most important question is how are you going to recover? Because yes, your Melkor is on a warpath, but at the same time, you say yes to too many evil things. How do you stop yourself from being corrupted and how do you recover from that?
Oh. Have you the end's just
silence. Silence because he hasn't thought about it yet.
it's like you do so much to bring your family back and by the end your family's not going to recognize you, the person you've become.
Yeah, but, I mean, yeah, in Melkor's mind, he's not doing anything wrong. Like, he's not going to do anything that he thinks is wrong, that he thinks is, like, evil.
That's fair.
But he's willing to, like,
play jump rope with the lion?
Yeah, play jump rope with the lion to achieve his goal because he thinks his goal is, like, is good. And it is because, I mean, he's trying to bring back the dead people from Mogus. He wants to like undo that.
Well, and, it's completely the scenario of do the ends justify the means.
He's also a little bit, he's also slightly, I think he's slightly gone like insane a little bit from like the anger and like the trauma and the grief of like being involved in a massacre, having like everyone he knows get murdered, you know, that other than like,
that sounds like a great conversation for in game. So everybody can talk about it because nobody likes to talk about shit.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of explained it a bit when I revealed that I was getting into the necromancy stuff.
Yeah,
because right when I revealed it to the party anyway, I tried to explain Melkor, like his reasoning.
Mm-hmm.
For a bit, that was I don't in know the if anyone was dungeon, listening, right? But yeah,
I think the problem is that was in the middle of a dungeon.
Yeah, it'll have to come up organically again, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, you could talk about it because you guys are gonna have some downtime coming up. As long as
it'll probably come up again because when he transitions into becoming a fucking vampire, so he'll probably have to justify it, like,
yeah, probably. Like,
you know.
All right,
I still just think it is the most hilarious thing that I went from being the party evil guy. To not so bad after all, am I? Well,
I mean, it's all about the motif of the game. The motif is what makes a monster.
Right.
I thought I always thought you were the party's good guy.
Before you and Kyle came, I was the liar, the walking the line, the like, you know, even this was before Finn did anything like obviously suspicious. So everybody was just like, man, Demezio is like, he's being shady. Like I was like caught lying red-handed, like about being in the mob and doing like jobs for the mafia and shit. Like the party was like not trusting me and it was becoming an issue. And now it's like, I feel like I'm the party's moral compass, which is funny. Like, oh boy, how far we've all gone.
Demise is like, we've gone too far.
Yeah.
You guys overstepped the line.
Too much has changed.
Now all of a sudden I feel like my older brother, Nico. I'm the goody two shoes at the group. What happened?
Yeah.
Speaking of Nico, Sam, I know you saw some funky thing happen with Nico while you were both downstairs.
Yes. Well, we were both what? Downstairs.
In the dungeon.
Yeah, his eyes glue. I wanted to actually, that was one of my questions for you, was were his eyes glowing in the fight with Aldous? Or is that...
Rob said that, but I don't recall ever saying that.
I don't
I
either.
Really, really don't. Because I thought, and I'm pretty positive, that Rob got special magic powers.
No,
and Rob tried to spin it and said that Nico cheated, which Nico would not cheat.
110% am sure that you gave Aldous boosts and power ups, and Rob did glow because that was right after I gave him the necklace. So mm-hmm. I know that is 100% the case. I just wasn't sure if Nico's eyes glowed too.
No, I don't recall. Saying that. Not to say it didn't happen, but I just don't recall it.
No, but I like I said though too. I think I wasn't sure if Nico dead or not, but I, you know, when it happened, I was like, oh my gosh, wait, do I know that already? You know, that's mm-hmm. how I felt, but that's pretty crazy though, but does not surprise me though. I mean, because Aroas is red and white, that's the colors of the Boros Legion, so I'm assuming that their morality, Domezio doesn't know that, but I know that.
Well, you don't know the magic lore behind the Mogus and Aroas.
Oh, no.
Mogus and Aroas are twin brothers.
Oh, yeah. I think I did know that.
Opposite sides of the same coin. They're both gods of war. It's just Aroas is more of the god of honor and courage, whereas Mogus is the god of slaughter.
When by any means necessary, yeah.
Yeah. So that is why you were more of the Mogus, and I originally had Aldous as the Eroas. But there can be multiple instances of a champion or someone chosen by a god, especially if one of them is not fully embracing it.
Right. Yeah, he'd want a backup plan or...
Yeah.
So, but here the other thing is, too, is how rare is that to actually, like, have happen? Like, the whole...
out of all of the people that you have seen, how many of them have had glowing eyes?
Three, including me, Robin. Me,
so,
Robin.
And Nico. Not... And how many other people have like, worshipped gods? Like... Everybody that you've encountered.
Yeah.
Even think back to George, you know how devoted he was to Nylia?
Yeah.
Like that he didn't have glowing eyes. It is very rare. And it's more about,
because it's like, you know, does that mean that I'm a champion, like Mogus's champion? Because at the same time, Kyle's had, it's like Zora has had better interaction with Mogus than I have. So that's a...
He also has been worshiping Mogus like his entire life.
Oh, okay.
And you don't necessarily reach out to Mogus.
Right. Well, that's because, you know, I know, like as a paladin, I get my powers more from my bond and my word more so than the deity. Like, you know, I always talk
about
that.
Question is, who is your word to?
Well,
that is the question, Sam.
That's true.
So, I mean, it's... I'm not faulting you for not, like, kind of leaning into it more. I totally get it. I really do. Actually, I think Kyle's eyes glow black and red at one point, didn't they?
Yeah, you know what? I think you are right.
So, I don't know. And I will tell you that Eroas and Mogus, if one steps over the other, like, steps up, like, maybe has two champions, the other one will come back and have a second champion or a third. So they escalate things very quickly, whereas a lot of the other gods are a lot more conservative.
Yeah, they take it more personal because they're brothers.
Yeah.
About the whole thing.
Exactly.
Well, it's like Zeus and Hades, kind of.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait.
So I'm... Huh.
Sorry. Is someone else in the party or affiliated with the party involved with Auroras?
Nico.
Oh, Nico is.
Yeah, his eyes
blue, his red, blue. And white. The last session.
I mean, who knows? Maybe a lot of the people that you've interacted with have this power, just hasn't manifested yet. Who knows? Maybe I'm leading up to a big, grand scale battle at the end, where all of these past NPCs will come back a hell of a lot more powerful. Who knows? Maybe I'm just blowing smoke up your ass. I don't know. I don't know. Only time will tell.
So if I so you're gonna make me wait until the next session to see, or a couple of sessions, maybe a couple, like a month or two from now, to see what's gonna go on with the vampire thing? Like,
just as a point of reference, I have made Anthony wait for his Nephilim powers for how long? So,
a year?
Yes.
Over a year?
Oh, no.
Yes, I am totally happy in making you wait, because it's not something that's going to happen overnight.
Andy,
and you might get drifted.
Andy doesn't get to dangle carrots all the time. And when he does...
Oh, they're dangling for days.
Yeah. If, see, if he just tells you no, it takes the suspense out of it.
Exactly. There's no fun in that. You know what I mean? And something might come up. Here's the other thing. So I already have like an idea, but something might come up mid-game where I'm like, that's actually a really cool power. Let's try it and see. Like, you never know. Or I'll give you something that I had an idea on. Who knows? It's just, excuse me, kind of depends on the situation.
Hmm.
Like, was it an accident that you had asked Simon for more help and then he overexerted himself? And it's already been well said that if he pushes himself too hard, he gets weaker, which makes Finn go stronger. And then literally the next episode, Finn gets a, or actually the same episode, Finn gets a new power. Maybe. Was it planned? Was it a happy accident? To be truth. And honestly, yes, that was a happy accident. That was a complete happy accident.
That's funny.
Thanks. I got a lot going through my brain right now.
That's okay. Do you guys have any other questions for me?
So my sending earrings.
Oh yeah, I forgot I gave you those.
Those are just like infinite distance, infinite number of times, infinite number of uses and words. I guess.
Do you have unlimited calls and texts?
Yes. Is that how that works?
With your person on the other ear, yeah. So you can, so like it's basically you're casting sending. So you'd have to follow the procedure of sending. However, you do not need the material components.
Is that the one with the 20 word limit?
Yes. The only thing is that sending can go through dimensions or like planes of existence.
Oh, that's nice.
These ones cannot. These earrings cannot. They have to exist on the same plane of existence.
No, that's fine. So I just kind of like, I want to ask like your opinion. I know you kind of, you mentioned I could give it to my dad. Obviously now we've left the dungeon, so I feel like that ship has sailed.
Well, we can go back and you can say that you can give it to your dad. That's fine.
But so I'm kind of like
torn. We do have the 5 weeks of downtime. You can always do that during the 5 weeks.
Yeah. Like I'm torn as far as who to give them to, because like, yeah, I could give them to my dad. However, my dad now has the ability to see me. Now I know my dad has the ability to see me all the time.
Yeah.
So does that really do me any good?
It's up to you. He can see you. He can't communicate with you.
Right. No, I know. And it just, you know, then I'm like, well, it's just a matter of more beneficial to give it to a party member that I can communicate with, you know, in case we get separated. You know,
that's a valid point too. Well, or do you give it to an NPC?
Right. I could give it to Nico so I could be in touch with him at all times.
Which might not be a bad idea.
I'm torn as far as what do you think would be the best solution?
I don't know. I feel like every option that you have is a valid point. Like even Bartholomew in Solura, totally valid to give it to him because he's the guy at the manor. Like he operates your homestead. Your dad is a good idea because now instead of texting, you have video calling.
Yeah.
As far as you could give it to Nico, that would be a good idea. Especially with some things that might be coming up soon. Never a bad idea. Especially if you're all going to be tackling Mr. Agony from different sides. Giving it to, who else is there? Bell, possibly, might not be a bad idea. I don't know if he would accept it, but it's certainly an option. Actually, yeah. he wouldn't even accept it because he resides in a demiplane, so he doesn't even reside.
He's in a different plane of existence, anyways.
Yeah, so that doesn't even work.
He'd be like, this service sucks.
What if
I can't hear anything?
What if you gave it to like, librarian or someone with like access to like a lot of information, and you ask them, like, say we get into a fight with some sort of monster.
That's something that you would do.
And you contact, you know, this like researcher or librarian, you ask them,
okay,
you know, what is this we're looking at? Does it have weaknesses?
Okay, so firstly, it takes a whole action to do that. Secondly, you're asking somebody to look it up, so they have to go find the book. They have to make sure it's the correct book. They have to go through the book in order to find something. That research is not something that happens very quickly, and combat is very fast. It is very rare that combat lasts more than 10 rounds, which is a minute.
That's a good point.
My other thought was giving it to my daughter.
That's certainly an option, too.
Especially because, like, she's in the mob, like, my, you know, so we'd have that connection. She could be like our I don't know what I'm going to expect when I when we finally meet up with Don Peruano. Is he going to be friendly? Is he going to be upset? Is he going to be evil? Is he going to be an ally? You know, I know obviously you're not going to tell me. I just, I you know, my no, mind
those,
has been thinking,
those are all fantastic questions.
Yeah, so like my mind is rolling with those. So it's like, would it be good to have her as far as like intel on the inside? And if they, so if they are an ally, it'll be good to have her be the one point of contact that I can relay info to. Oh. If they're an enemy, it'll be good to have her as the one that can feed me info to know if they're chasing us or whatever. And the other option is Zor. But I, you know, and I thought it'd be comical because I could make a comment about him having another voice in his head. Because that's the last thing he needs.
I thought of a counterpoint to what you were saying, though, Andy. Like, what if we were in a, say, the like something like the forest, and we wanted to know, like, we wanted information about the forest or, like, the creatures in it. And, like, or say we were in, like, a situation where there was, like, several of the same creature. Where we fight and we fight them like more than once.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or we're gonna that's like you know possible. Or I mean, we know that something's up ahead that we're gonna fight.
Uh-huh.
And you could ask for information and maybe they'll be able to get us to us in time.
I mean that's a good point. I was just saying that from what it sounded like you were thinking in the heat of the moment in battle.
Yeah, in the heat of the moment, not that useful. Yeah.
Yeah. So long term, like, absolutely. That's super helpful. And Bartholomew has access to Julian's library, which is very extensive. It even has stuff on the Nephilim there. So extremely valuable.
And he'd be willing to do it without pay, you think, right?
Oh, yeah, he would. I mean, yeah. You guys are his lords, technically. So, yeah. I mean, so that is an option. All of them are good options. It's just a matter of who you think the best option is.
Yeah,
you can always wait and find out.
Does Bartholomew have access to like a teleporter?
There is a teleportation circle in the manor.
You need to know the spell teleport. Last time we used it, we had a teleportation scroll. That's why it worked.
Yeah, and he doesn't know how to teleport.
Oh, so you can't send us anything?
Correct.
Do you have access to message, Sam?
No.
No? Nope. I mean, another option, if you put it on me, I have message, so you could say something to me, and I could whisper it to anyone else in the party telepathically.
Yeah.
That's another thought. Well, I'm not asking you to give it to me, I'm just saying, like, you could use me like that if you wanted to. I wouldn't care.
Well, that's true, because then at that point, like, between... Maybe it would be better to not give it to anybody in the party because you have message and Finn has his awakened mind. So both of you are psychic with being able to talk telepathically.
Yeah, we already have those. Yeah.
So it wouldn't, I don't think it'll be even beneficial to even have it to that extent in anyone to the party because then it's a kind of a case scenario where it's like we get separated, which we should not be getting separated. That's rule number one in D&D, but in case of emergencies, it's nice to have. But
it's rule number one, and yet you seem to always break it. Not you specifically, but everybody in the group does.
Well, yeah, that's true. If you wanted to, actually, I just realized if you wanted to relay something like in secret, you could just like signal me somehow.
Yeah,
and then I would use it on you and ask you what you want, and then I would just do it. Yeah.
So definitely things to consider, but I think I'm going to end it there because I have to go relieve Bree from baby duty so she can get some sleep. All right. Because she has the early morning and she's being very kind and letting me do this tonight. So with that said, huh?
I just chuckled. As you said you were just saying, you know, you have to take over. That's all.
Yeah, that's what happens when your son doesn't feel like sleeping without being cradled in your arms. Very cute, but also very fucking annoying. So with that said, everybody, we'll catch you all next time on Tales of Deconia, where we venture back into everyone's favorite NPC, Belle. Have a good night, everybody.